20th chapter. Our bulletin, you don't get one, but I get one, and it says, heaven is a one-way ticket. If you get halfway, you didn't make it. As I read that this morning, I was thinking, God, you're so merciful because that's what I'm preaching on. Matthew 20 and 16. So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. I wonder how many people have walked into this place, felt the presence of God, and then made a decision to walk out and never come back again. Chosen by God, you know, invited. Matthew 10 and 22. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the middle, three quarters, seven eighths, no, to the end, shall be saved. See, you have to finish this race in order to get the prize. Unfortunately, there have been so many people who have had good intentions, especially at the beginning, but they didn't make it all the way. I was talking to somebody yesterday morning after prayer, and I said, you know, I could just absolutely be devastated by all of the people who started this race, but they never finished. I could grieve every day. But I have to minister to those who are still in the race, those who still want to make it all of the way. And you can't do that without help, folks. Some think they can. Glory to God. Amen. And then the book of Micah, minor prophet. Chapter 7 and verse number 7. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Amen. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemies. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light and I shall behold his righteousness. Amen, amen. Lord, help us this morning. Bless the word. Touch it. God, cause it to not only lodge in our brain, but sift down to our heart. Information isn't enough without feeling. And God, we need to feel your touch. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. On the way to get my wife Starbucks this morning, I saw a man running down the road. And I thought, boy, I'm glad I'm not running down the road. Amen. I mean, maybe there's somebody in here who likes running. Let me just tell you, I don't like running. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Unless I'm going after a little fuzzy yellow ball, then I'm motivated to run. I was thinking this morning, you never see dogs jogging, you know? Throw a ball and they'll run after it. Amen. See, there has to be something you're running to or for, you see, not just to run to go nowhere. There are some things that just don't make sense. When they came out with bottled water, I thought, who's going to buy water? You know? But I guess there is somebody. Amen. When I was in high school, I ran cross country. It's a 2.5 mile race over various terrains. And I did it not because I love running, but I thought, you know what, if I make the team, I'll be able to get a varsity letter and put it on a leather sweater, and that will attract some girls. And hey, it worked. I mean, she's sitting on the front pew right now, you know. See, I was running for the prize. Wanted to get that letter, wanted to get that girl, you know. And if you don't have your eyes on the prize, you're going to stop running. I remember one particular race, I'll never forget it. I was sick all week, and my coach insisted that I run. And as I was running this 2.5 miles, I was thinking, I got to make it. But there was this mental gymnastics going on, like, just stop for a little while, you know. But I thought, I am going to make it across the finish line. And I remember making it across the finish line and just falling down. I was so weak. I was so tired. I don't remember where I finished in the hundreds of runners, but I remember I finished. I remember in basic training, it was 8 weeks of grueling, regular training. And at the very end, the drill sergeant said, now, if you don't pass these last few tests, you're going to have to go through all 8 weeks of training again. And one of them was to run a mile under a certain amount of time. And it wasn't a problem for me. I was in good shape, and I ran the mile, and you have to put this number on that identifies who you are. But I knew this one guy, if he wasn't going to make it. And I took his number. Wasn't in the church. But I had such empathy for him, I didn't want to see him go through another 8 weeks of basic training. Put his number on, ran an extra mile for him, and the feeling that came over me in order to help him through a situation that I don't think he'd ever make it on his own. In 2003, Air Force One slowly rolled to a stop at the Greenville, South Carolina airport. Many dignitaries were there lined up to welcome President Bush. He was to give a speech at a local plant, but he also descended the staircase looking for a special guest who had been invited to meet him. It was a young man who had been interviewed by NBC Nightly News. He was Ben Komen, a 16-year-old boy. And what was so special about this young man? Well, he was a loser. He had never ever won a race, but he was a winner because he always finished the race. There's a bunch of losers in this church, including me. When Ben turned one, they discovered he had cerebral palsy, and for the rest of his life, he was going to be handicapped. Yesterday at our baptism, there was a man in a wheelchair who had cerebral palsy. There were four of us who had to help him into the baptistry, and he was baptized in Jesus' name. I remember the smile that this man had on his face, and after the baptism was over, we gave him a certificate of baptism, and he thanked me profusely for baptizing him. And I said, you know, God isn't done with you yet, and you could get out of this chair. He said, well, that would be fine, but this is the prize. Yeah. Ben and his brother were very intellectual, both on the National Honor Society, but Ben's body couldn't respond quickly to his brain. His father ran track, and so he decided at 13 he wanted to run track as well. And his mother was very concerned, thinking, this isn't going to work. So she called the coach and explained the situation, and the coach simply said, come on, bring him down. And so Ben runs cross country, but he runs with great difficulty. Ben falls a lot, and when he falls hard because his body can't catch up with his brain in order to help him prevent injuries. And so he knows when he starts the race, there's going to be some hurt involved. Because of this, Ben falls and falls hard, but Ben gets up. And he doesn't want people to help him. Each time it's a real struggle in order to get up by himself. But getting up isn't all that Ben wants to do. He wants to finish the race. So many people start this race, they fall, and they're out for the count. They just seems like, okay, if God really wanted me to make it, there wouldn't be this trouble in my life. When he finally crosses the finish line, he is generally bleeding because of many falls that he had taken. So after every race has finished, about 30 minutes later, Ben can be seen in a distance moving awkwardly towards the finish line because he is determined to finish the race. This could preach, folks. You know, every morning in Africa, when the sun comes up, a gazelle knows that he must run faster than the local lion, or he's going to die. And every morning, the lion knows that he must run faster than the gazelle, or he's going to starve to death. And so we find most of us wake up in the morning knowing that we're involved in a race. We're involved in so many things, and we're so intent on getting to the finish line of life. We're thinking that when I'm 16, when I'm 21, when I'm 35, when I get the education, when I get the house, when I get the spouse, you know, it'll be the finish line. It's not the finish line. None of us are saved as yet. There's a false sense of security thinking that just because we came into the church baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost that we're in. No, we're not. Not until you feel your feet leave the ground, folks. Hallelujah. And we all have some handicaps that would take us out of the race. There's always some kind of problem that we have to go through or overcome, and so many think that now that I'm in the church, there won't be any problems. But no, there's some handicap. There are going to be some bruises. There's going to be some falls, if you will. An excuse why we can't run the race that is set before us, but our handicap, well, they don't exclude us from finishing. Turn to Hebrews, the 12th chapter, please. Verse number 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which thus so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Not every person has the same race. Right. Not every person has the same distance that they have to go. But there are going to be some weights that we have to get rid of. Some people will never make it all the way because they are not willing to get the weights off that so easily beset them or stop them. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. There should be some joy in running. It's not, oh, I got to run because if I don't run, I'm not going to be healthy. Well, That's true spiritually, but you know what? If you don't have any joy in the process, in the journey, in the race, you won't continue. Amen. Glory to God. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Not everyone runs the same race, and God determines the course that we will run, but there is a finish line for each and every one of us. Glory to God. There are some great people who have finished their course. People that I have ministered to over the years that have passed away, but I know they have finished the course. Turn to 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. Starting in verse number 24. This is the start of the first Olympics way back in the city of Corinth. Verse 24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I studied this and searched it out many years ago, and generally what would happen is the people who won the race would get a parsley crown or a crown of pine needles. I mean, it was so temporal. But Paul is saying, hey, when you get a crown, this is going to be a crown of righteousness. It's going to be a crown forever. Verse 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. That I wouldn't finish my race. Later he said, I fought a good fight. And I finished my course. And now there's laid up for me a crown. But not only to me, but all those who love his appearing. Listen, in the race of life, we will fall. Frank Sinatra sang, that's life. Riding high in April and shot down in May. Some of you are asking yourself, who is Frank Sinatra? I'm old, folks. Folks, sometimes we look for someone to help us back up and there is nobody around us. What do? You stop running? My friend didn't call me. The pastor didn't call me. So I'm not coming back to church. I'm not going to live for God anymore. You see, this race isn't determined based on who's running next to you. But you have determined that I'm going to make it all of the way. You know what I did when I was in cross country? I knew I wasn't going to be the fastest guy. I wasn't going to be the first guy. There were some guys who were from Ethiopia. They had legs about 6 foot tall, you know. And they came from a place that had high altitude. They would always win the race, you know. But I would find somebody that I knew was going to finish in the top 10%. And I would try to keep pace with it. You know what? You ought to find some spiritual giant in the church. And then keep pace with them. Are they going to prayer? Are they reading the Bible? What is their life? Keep pace with somebody else in order to help you finish the race. Blame your failures on who wasn't there for you? No, you're quitting. That's an easy excuse because we're all saying, well, I don't know if I can keep going. I don't know. You know, life hasn't been fair. Well, really? Take a look at John, the 5th chapter. John chapter 5 and verse number 4. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whoso ever. Then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity, 38 years. And when Jesus saw him, lie, he knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. We can all get to that place where we're looking for somebody else to help us to a certain level. And as a church, we should be able to depend on other people. But if we don't have somebody, will we still be determined in order to make it all the way? The impotent man answered, Sir, I have no man, but Jesus is standing right in front of him. We could get to the place where we're looking for exactly the perfect atmosphere. Well, maybe it starts in the atrium, because Jesus is standing right here. Oh, I wish I could get here. Oh, I wish I had that job. I wish God would. You know what? He's the author, and he's the finisher of our faith. Looking to Jesus. When Micah came to the conclusion that there was no one to help him, he said in Micah 7:7, Therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. He was saying, I've tried it all. It hasn't worked, so I'll simply wait on God. He's going to take care of it. For how many years my wife just struggled and struggled and struggled in order to just walk sometimes, or just to perform some of the household things that she wanted to do. And I'll tell you what, she has been faithful. There are times where she walked into this church and she didn't know whether or not she was going to be able to stay for the whole service, but she came because she was waiting for God to do something. And thank God, a couple of months ago, God just touched her miraculously, and she's a completely different person. And you know, there's always the other side of it. Well, why didn't God do that for me? You see? He can. We're not looking to each other. We're looking to God. The same God that healed Sister Schumacher can heal anybody in this place. And what it should be is it should be a testimony of, listen, God's still healing. God's still filling people. God's still baptizing them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Some have the attitude that if everybody loves me and helps me, well, then I'll just stay in the church. Let me bust your bubble for you. You know what? Not everybody is going to be lovely. Not everybody is going to be nice to you. Amen. If you're looking for the perfect church, you have not found the perfect church as yet. Perfect pastor, maybe, but not the perfect church. You know. There are going to be people who are going to disappoint you. They're going to hurt your feelings, you know, and including me from time to time. But we have a perfect God, a perfect God. People are not going to anticipate your needs, but God will anticipate your needs. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Isaiah said, when you wait on God, he lifts you to another level of faith. When you wait on God, you won't get weary. When you wait on God, you won't faint. When you wait on God, he gives you wings as of eagles. Solomon said in Proverbs 24 and 16, for a just man falleth seven times and rises up again. I'm glad that God didn't just put all of the positive things in the Bible, but he shows us there were men and women who fell and got up, fell and got up, fell and got up. Even through their circumstances, they were still faithful to God. Hallelujah. I can't help but think about a missionary up in Brother Tanberg's church in La Crosse, that he got cancer and he had to come home off the mission field. Just a greatest guy. And you know, he came to church with a cane, and then he came to church with a walker, and then eventually they had to carry him in and lay him on the back pew because, you know what, I'm not going to miss church. Did God heal him? No. But I'll tell you what, he finished his course. He finished his course. Okay. Glory to God. It was after Jesus cleansed the temple of all of the many changers and all of those people who were corrupt and went to church, went to temple, that then the lame and the halt and the blind found access to the temple of God. Before that, they weren't allowed even into the temple. In God's world, it's handicap accessible. It's his building code. You see, he's looking for those who can't finish the race by themselves. If you think you can do this by yourself, you're not a part of the church. Isn't it amazing that people pay big bucks to see only the best of the athletes? Right. I just heard the other day that somebody got $320 million to play baseball, to hit a little ball made out of leather. Well, God paid the greatest price to see the losers win. Yeah. Hallelujah. So who's a winner this morning? The winner is the one who finishes, but not at the expense of other people. Micah 7 and 8 says, rejoice not against me, O mine enemies. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be light unto me. He didn't say when I'm sitting in the crowd, when all the people are clapping their hands for me, winners finish. Winners finish. But winners rarely finish alone. We are the church for the reason to help each other finish the race. We encourage one another. Every time we get together, whether you know it or not, just because you're sitting in the pew that you are, encourages somebody that's next to you, especially if you've gone through a whole lot of problems. You've had health problems, you had financial problems, you have problems, somebody has left you, and you're all by yourself, and you're still faithful. You don't understand how that encourages other people. If you can be faithful in your situation, in your dilemmas, then I can be faithful as well. The point being is, it doesn't matter if we come in first, but it matters that we finish the course. We could be so close and then give up just before the finish line. If we were ever closer to the second coming of the Lord Jesus, we've never been this close. Doesn't have to be any prophecy that has to be fulfilled before Jesus comes. If we see the signs of the times, we see what's going on financially, economically. If you look at the weather, folks, everything points to he's coming. He could come this year. Paul said, in 1 Corinthians 9 and 24, know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. I think the key is, you know, this isn't a walk race. It's a running race. It's something that you put everything into it. It's easy to live for God hard. It's hard to live for God easy. In other words, this would only give, the world will only give a prize to the best, but God gives great rewards, not a parsley crown, but a crown of righteousness that will last forever to all those who simply finished. Would you turn to 2 Timothy? Chapter 4, verse number 5. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction. Oh, no. Do the work of the evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. You know, when you got the Holy Ghost, you got a ministry. You may not have gotten a ministerial license. Yeah. You may not receive teaching credentials, so to speak, but you have a ministry to minister to someone. I told people Wednesday night, there was a lady I met about a month ago at the tennis club, and she identified herself as a Christian, and she said, my husband is an orthopedic surgeon, and we've been going to this denominational church for years, but things have changed, and we're looking for something fresh, something new, and somebody told me that you're a pastor. And so I said yes, told her where the church is, you know, love to have you. The next week I saw her again. I invited her to come again. I told her about the message I was going to preach on wedding dresses, and she told me about her wedding dress, and I thought for sure she was going to come. She never showed up. I don't know if she's here today. She may be. So we're down in Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. And I get an email from her, and she said, listen, I'm coming down to Cabo San Lucas, and I know you've been down there before. Could you give me some idea of what kind of transportation there is from the airport, or could I rent a car? And I emailed back, said, I'm down here right now. I can pick you up from the airport. I can take you to the hotel. And she's coming by herself on standby. And so my wife and I picked her up at her hotel. We took her out to breakfast, started talking to her about the things of God. And she told me about some things that God had done in her life. And tears are streaming down her cheeks. Now, she wouldn't come to Racine, Wisconsin to come to church. So God orchestrates the situation. Didn't know I was down there, you know. My God, we have ministries. We minister. I didn't do that because I have a ministerial license, not that I'm ordained. It's that I have been filled with God's Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul said, know ye not that those who run, run all. God gives some great rewards. In 2 Timothy 4 and 5, it says, but watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of the evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Hallelujah. Greatest thing that Paul did was to finish his course. I mean, did he suffer afflictions? Beaten? Half drowned? so many times under so much pressure from without and even from within. Glory to God. Amen. Paul's finishing was the greatest part of his ministry. And I relived yesterday that feeling that I had when I was in that cross-country race thinking, I can't make it. I don't know. But I visualized the finish line, if I could just get to the finish line. It was a struggle from time to time, but there were saints that helped Paul. Do you know of somebody who has struggled or stumbled? Could you help them, encourage them to help finish their course? Ben's last race was his best time, 38 minutes. Yet he was still 20 minutes behind everybody else. The sun was setting, but instead of everyone leaving the stands, they all waited patiently for Ben. Then over a small hill a few hundred yards from the finish line, a silhouette of a runner appeared, and they realized that Ben is finally coming to finish his course. The audience stood to their feet, and behind Ben were all of the runners who had already finished the race. Once they finished the race, they turned back and got behind Ben to encourage him in order to finish his race. Ben was bleeding from several falls, and yet he was leading a large pack of runners to the finish. Some of you who are going through some things right now, who you wonder sometimes, am I going to make it? You might be leading a whole bunch of us to the finish line. There are numbers of you who are sitting here this morning that have caused me to run faster and with more determination, because I know that if you can make it, I can make it. I'm going to do the best that I can in order to minister to your needs. Cause me to do more. And if you can keep coming and faithful with your problems and going through what you're going through, I'll be behind you. I'll watch you. I'll do whatever I can in order to encourage you. In fact, there are a lot of people behind you that's what the church does. And when Ben crossed the finish line, the crowd went wild. He always loses. But he always finishes. He never finishes alone. He is the loser who always wins. A winner finishes regardless of difficulty. A winner finishes knowing the sun is setting. The winner finishes knowing a cloud of witnesses are cheering him on. There are angels that are clapping their hands and rejoicing when you take one more step in the course of life. Winners finish looking for the one who died for him. So don't give up. Never give up. Today is a day of salvation. You may fall down, but never lay down. Amen. Remember, it won't be the president meeting you at the runway, but there's a God that is going to be meeting you with open arms saying, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." There's going to be an angel band. There's going to be a welcoming party when we get to that place where we take our first step over the threshold of glory. Hallelujah. I couldn't help but think this morning of Brother Alan Oggs, multiple sclerosis and from birth, always had problems walking and talking and couldn't move his hands. And of course, when he was about 8 years old, he demanded from his mother that she buy him a bicycle. Many of you know the story. And for months, he tried to ride this bicycle, and he'd get a little ways, and then he'd fall over and get a little ways, and he'd fall over, and he'd get back. He was so determined. And one day, he got on that bike, and he was able to ride it around the block. And as he was coming towards his house, all of the neighbors were on the porches clapping their hands for Alan Oggs. And he wrote one of the greatest books that I've ever written or read, You've Got to Have a Want To. You see, we don't run not looking at the prize. We don't fight not knowing that we're going to get the victory. Brother Oggs has preached from this pulpit from several years. He's gone on. He's finished his course. But I'll tell you, there was some special anointing on that man because it wasn't easy for him to run. It wasn't easy for him to be a minister. Nobody, when he was going to school, he said, I want to be a preacher. And everybody laughed at him because he stuttered and he couldn't speak very well. But I'll tell you what, there was a God that was clapping his hands. So what's your problem? I know what mine is. But I look to the author and the finisher of my faith. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Would you stand with me, please? You can make it. You can make it. About once a month, I think about a young man that I counseled about a year ago. He's having trouble in his marriage. I said the most encouraging words. He was filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name in this church, but ended his own life. And I thought, what a waste. So close. So close. And yet never finished. I don't want to see any more casualties because of some issues in life. He's the author, and he's the finisher. Sometimes we'll let you down, but God will never let you down. And one day there's going to be a sound from heaven, a shout, a sound of the trumpet. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to rise up to meet the Lord in the air. There won't be any wheelchairs there. There won't be any asthma. There won't be any lonely people. There won't be any cancers. There won't be any bad days. There won't be any cold days. It's going to be a perfect situation. But that can only happen if we get up. Get up. Get up. Get out of here. Amen. Would you come?